Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
President Trump, First Lady Melania Trump tested positive for COVID-19. That news coming out overnight. We ran through for you a bit of the contact tracing and who's tested positive and who hasn't. But the markets reacted pretty strongly, as you would expect. And to give us some insight into that, we're pleased to welcome back onto the program Chris Kiehl, economist at Armada Corporate Intelligence. Squeezing us in between some meetings this morning. We appreciate it. Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good. How's it going with you?
It's been an interesting day. So tell us, first of all, right, about how the markets reacted to the news of the president's diagnosis this morning.
Yeah, it's pretty similar to what they did when Boris Johnson, the prime minister of Britain, also contracted COVID a few months back. I mean, it was sort of a confused reaction. What do we know? What do we not know? You know, is he going to come back? Is he going to recover? In the case of Johnson, of course, he was out of commission for a couple of weeks, but the government went on and then people resumed. So there's going to be a lot of attention paid day to day. Is Trump going to be one that, like, 65% of the population that gets a mild case, or is it more serious than that? So right now it's uncertainty, and markets hate uncertainty.
They hate uncertainty, but once those questions are answered, I mean, we went through this earlier in the year when we had that dramatic round of uncertainty about exactly what coronavirus was going to mean. We still don't know. So that uncertainty in the meantime can mean this kind of a downturn. Does that last?
You know, I don't know how long a reaction would last, because the focus is still going to be on the big issue, which is the election. And the real question is going to be, does this have an outcome as far as the election is concerned? And we'll know that pretty quick, as the polls will come out and basically indicate that this has either been something that changes people's perception or not. I don't think that it will. At this point in the campaign, 90% of the voters have made up their mind, and we're just kind of waiting for the confirmation to come in November. So it's one of those things where everybody's stuck kind of playing it by ear until they get a little bit more confirmation and word, because by this time we know that the outcome can be highly differentiated. You know, we've known people have gotten extremely ill, most people have died. On the other hand, people have had very mild impacts and have really continued on. Even when Johnson had it, he continued to run the government, so...
We also know that some people show symptoms for 6 months after, or more maybe, because we're only, you know, if you want to argue that this thing started in January, let's say, or late last year, we're not even a year into this yet. So we don't really know about the future of the virus, but we do know now that the president has it.
Right. And I think that that's going to play into a little bit of the conversation, but frankly, the markets early on had worried the fact that we had two very old candidates for the presidency. And there has been conversation really from the very beginning that more than in previous elections, we've had to be concerned about who the vice presidents are, because the chances are just high. I mean, we're dealing with people who are in their 70s as opposed to people in their 50s and 60s.
We're also, not to skew too far away from the big news of the day, but we're also dealing with a time when there is a tremendous amount of wrangling going on Capitol Hill about stimulus.
Right.
What's going on? Give us an overall picture of how the markets are dealing with that and the fact that at present there is no deal done.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's surprised at this stage because both parties are really playing to their core and their base. So the Democrats want a very generous stimulus. The Republicans want a less generous stimulus, one that is not sort of an incentive for people not to look for work. So I don't think they're going to budge on their positions until after the election. Most of the expectation is that very soon after the election, there would be a deal, and it would be some kind of a compromise in between the two. Almost a foregone conclusion, but it's for political reasons, it's not going to happen for a month.
Who's most likely to get help out of that, maybe that hasn't had it before? Anybody?
I think it's going to go to a fairly similar group as the first one, but there's a little more attention being paid to the small business than in the original one, though small business got help in the first one as well. I think there may be a little more attention paid to people who are now facing real long-term unemployment. Remember, the first one was assuming that most of these layoffs were furloughs, that people would be brought back to work as soon as the economy reopened. But now that we know that a lot of these companies, these are permanent layoffs, people are not getting their jobs back, there may be a lot more attention to that long-term, what do I do to help you get back into the market, particularly if you're in an area that's been extremely hard hit, like tourist-bound Florida or Las Vegas.
And we've also, I mean, we've talked a tremendous amount over the course of this year about what's been going on with oil prices. And right. That, I mean, we still have gasoline that's hanging around here, just in the neighborhood of $2 a gallon for regular unleaded. How is that affecting and reverberating through the rest of the economy?
Well, honestly, oil prices are probably not going to move out of the 40s and early 50s per barrel for a long time. The whole oil structure has changed, predominantly because the U.S. is now the world's biggest oil producer. So we're just going to get used to having prices at this level. I don't think they're going to budge much in the next coming year. It's going to be a bit of a hardship for the oil producers in the U.S. from the consumer side. Yeah, get used to it. If you see prices get even to 230 or 240, that'll be a shocker. But it's going to be more likely to be in that low $2 range.
I want to spend a minute just talking about two big industries that have suffered a lot in the pandemic, travel and restaurants. And as somebody who follows both of those industries really closely, this seemed to be a week where locally I kept hearing about restaurants that are closing. You don't know if it's permanently or just for the winter. And I'm curious to see when travel is going to come back. What's your insight into, you know, those two industries? Is it just going to get worse over the winter?
It kind of depends. The travel part is split between the tourist traveler and the business traveler. A lot of the tourist travelers have come back because people are going ahead and going seeing family. It's the holidays and all that kind of stuff. The business traveler has not because the conferences are still not being held. The trade shows are still not being held. When it comes to the restaurant trade, what is weird about restaurants is that they come and go rapidly, even under normal circumstances. The Restaurant Association is saying we are probably going to see hundreds of thousands of restaurants close this year and hundreds of thousands of new ones open next year. So, and we're all familiar with that. We've seen those corners that every time you turn around, it's a new restaurant. And it's going to be that kind of pattern. People still want to go out to eat. People have really gotten tired of the takeout routine. Even people I know that like takeout are now starting to say, I just want to sit in an actual restaurant again. So that, I think, is a pent-up demand that will eventually get met.
And as to the travel industry, that circles us back around again to the impasse in Congress right now, because the airline industry, a couple of major airlines, have announced that they have layoffs essentially waiting to happen if a stimulus right. bill isn't passed. So how much of that is, I mean, obviously they're going to be in some kind of trouble, but are they also trying to influence Congress by kind of nudging them and saying, hey, guys, if you don't want these layoffs to happen, get something done here?
Well, yeah, exactly. All the business community is doing that because, frankly, you know, for the majority of us, we're saying, well, gee, I'm so glad that politics is so important to you guys. We would like to pay our rent and we would like to pay our mortgages. And wouldn't you like to just put your politics aside, oh, I don't know, for like an hour and do something for the country. And of course, the political response is, "What are you nuts? You
know, in an election year?
Yeah. An election year? Are you kidding? The only thing in the world that matters is me. So go away."
The other news that came out yesterday, and then I know we got to let you get to a meeting here, but the other thing that locally is being talked about is whether water services are going to continue to be, whether cutoffs are still going to happen, shutoffs are still going to happen. There's that discussion now about evictions and rent and some of those local bills that people have been able to defer for the last 6 months, but haven't been. What's that going to do, you know, for people that are unemployed?
Yeah, it's going to be a real challenge. This recession has been a lot harder on the renters than the last one. The last recession was more general. It affected homeowners a lot more than this one has. This one has been really targeted at that lower wage service sector worker, and they're mostly renters. The real challenge is that an awful lot of the places that they rent are owned by individuals, often who are elderly. That apartment, that duplex, that house is that person's income. So I've spoken to these landlord groups, and they're like, "This is my retirement income. I'm 75 years old. I don't want to evict anybody, but I can't go without that rent payment." So you've got a crisis on both sides. You've got the renters that are being hurt, and you've got the individual landlords being hurt. And that's really calling for some kind of relief to come in and say, "We just need to not only stall the evictions for a while, but we also need to make sure that these landlords who depend on that money are going to get something."
Well, Chris Kiel with Armada Corporate Intelligence, always a pleasure. And, you know, I know we're all in that position where we want to find that guy who said, "May you live in interesting times," and give him a good shake right about now. But we always appreciate having you to kind of take us through it all and make sense of it.
Exactly. Thanks very much. And, yeah, I agree with you. We got to find that guy and shut him up.
Well, thanks a lot, Chris. Chris Kiel of Armada Corporate Intelligence, always a pleasure to have you with us. We will check in with ABC News coming up in just a few minutes after the 10:30 news. Again, we've got some timeline. We want to get down what happened when, who's been tested, who hasn't been, what those results are. We'll get to all that information coming up in just a few minutes. The news is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.